So I'd like to tell you a little bit about one of my favorite books that I've ever read. Growing up as a missionary kid, I like to read a lot about other missionaries. So I read a lot of different books about missionaries, especially those who were in Asia, growing up in Japan. One of my favorites was a man by the name of Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell was born in 1902 in China to Scottish missionaries. But he's most well known probably as this picture, as a runner. He ran in the Scottish Olympics, or in the Olympics as a Scottish Olympian. You might have seen the movie Chariots of Fire. Dun, 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 that one, which I also like running. That's hence why he's another one of my favorites. But what isn't commonly known about Eric Liddell is that he was also a missionary to China. He sensed God's call to lead him there to follow his parents, and he obeyed that call. He sacrificed an Olympic career of fame and glory, and perhaps a future in coaching, to be a missionary in China for the next 20 years of his life. Eventually, he was put into a Japanese war camp because it was in the 1940s, part of the time that he was there, but he continued to trust God. Eric Liddell, this man here, was a man who lived his faith. Hence, he's one of my heroes. Last week, we began looking at a man named Abram. And forgive me if I call him Abraham. I'm so used to calling him Abraham. I might just say that, but I'm talking about the same guy, Abram, Abraham. He's considered to be the father of faith in the Bible. Why is that? Why did Abram have such a deep sense of faith and trust in God? It's because he lived his faith. His faith was fleshed out in action. An action that pleased God. Well, jump ahead several millennia to you and me right now sitting in this building. Why should we seek to live out our faith? Why is it important for us to not only make that decision to follow Christ, but then to continue to grow in our faith? Hebrews 11 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We often look at faith as some sort of intangible, maybe some sort of nebulous thing. Well, in fact, there's a lot of concrete action involved in having faith in God. And Abram gives us plenty of practical things to do to increase our faith, to have a deeper faith in God. Three from this passage in particular. So I ask that you open your Bibles to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9. If you're using a chair Bible, it's found on page 8. Wow, we've made it to page 8. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9. You can follow along in your Bible, on your tablet, or you can follow along on the screen. Genesis 12, 1 to 9. Would you follow along with me? The Lord has said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev, the word of the Lord. We see in this passage that Abram has faith that obeys, faith that sacrifices, and faith that worships. We're going to take a look at each of those three things today and digest them a little bit. So first, let's take a look at faith that obeys. It says that God had called, or God had said to Abram. Indicates that Abram first received the call of God, not in Haran, but in Ur, where he was living. So God led Abram, his father Terah and some other members of his family out of Ur and settled in Haran. Haran was a little bit north of Ur, but was still considered within the same people group, as they worshipped the same gods and had many of the same customs. Stephen, who's martyred in Acts, recounts the story for us a little bit, giving us some details that we don't know in Genesis. He says that the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. "Leave your country and your people," God said, "and go to the land I will show you." So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living, which is Canaan, the promised land. Abram left with his father to go to Haran and then once more received that call of God to continue down to the land of promise, where God's blessing would unfold completely. How would you feel right now if God asked you to leave your home, your country, your people, your family, to go to some unknown, vague place, but God asked you to do it? Then for God to say to Abram, "Oh yeah, and I'm going to make you into a nation. Wait, I don't have any kids. I'm 75. My wife is 65. She's barren. She can't have kids. At this rate, God, we should be grandparents, not parents." But God is the God of miracles. And somehow, Abram was able to trust God. So Abraham, we see, is faced with a choice: to obey God and follow him down to Canaan, or to disobey God and stay in Haran. To obey to trust in his own security, to keep having his faith in his family and his land, rather than obey God. Abraham certainly didn't see the reason why God would ask him to leave Haran. He was probably having a good, comfortable lifestyle. But Abraham didn't see the big picture. There's a part of our faith that we never really understand why God asks us to do certain things. But we need to trust that God sees the bigger picture. In the midst of your choice to trust God and his calling on your life, we need to exercise obedience. Faith needs obedience. In obeying God, Abraham displayed a fear of God. Not an afraid kind of fear, like the dark, but a sense of awe and trust that God knew and that God was sovereign. Abram saw that obeying God and thus living his faith was worth more than having what he thought was his security, his land, his family around him. Faith is not something nebulous, something that's intangible. There's action that's always involved in having faith. Faith involves obedience to God's call on your life. God might not call you to leave your country or your family like he did Abram, but how is God calling you to obey him? God always calls each of us to obey him. Is it to read your word more faithfully? Is it to share your faith with that friend who doesn't know about God? Is it to finally submit yourself to what God has been asking you to do, but you've been resisting him? David Platt wrote a book called Counterculture, and he describes the battle to obey God's call that rages within each one of our hearts. He says, "When it comes to the call of God, I am prone to hesitate. Before I do anything, I want complete confirmation that what I'm doing, that I'm doing the right thing. I want to research every option, hear everyone's opinion. That is not bad in itself, for I want to be wise. But if I'm not careful, I can slowly let indecision become inaction. I can easily become paralyzed by the pressures from people around me and doubts that dominate within me. And before I know it, delayed obedience becomes disobedience. Delayed obedience becomes disobedience." Do you think that Abraham probably wanted to ask people's opinion around him before moving to Canaan? Do you think probably people gave their opinion freely to him? Why would you want to go to this foreign land, be living in these people who are your enemies? We can't let our delayed obedience to God become disobedience. That's not how we see Abram respond to God's call, and that's not how we should respond to it either. A wonderful part in this passage here that we see is God's call, God's words to Abraham. How many times do you see the word bless in verse 1 of 3? I count 5. God wants to bless Abraham. God wants to bless those who obey him. It's recorded 5 times here in these first 3 verses. And if you look at the first 11 chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1 to 11, it's also 5 times the word blessing is recorded there. So 5 times in 11 chapters, and then we see the word, same word, blessing, 5 times in just 3 verses. Do you think God was trying to communicate something to Abram? I don't know, maybe. God wanted to bless Abraham for his obedience. God wants to bless you for your obedience and your faith to God. Not some sort of health, wealth sort of blessing, but a spiritual blessing, multiplying your faith and making you a blessing to others. Much of Abraham's blessing wasn't just for himself, but he was going to be the blessing for the rest of the world, for his descendants. With the obedience that we have that overflows from our faith, God promises to bless us. Live your faith. Have a faith that obeys. Second, in this passage, we see that Abraham has a faith that sacrifices. In his obedience to leave God, in his obedience to God, to leave his country behind, his people and his father's household, we see the sacrifice, the immense sacrifice that Abram makes to trust in God's call. Imagine getting that call from God at age 75, to completely unsettle yourself, to distance yourself from your family, and have a brand new adventure at age 75. People did live a little bit longer back then than they did now, but it was already beginning to decline, as we see from the genealogy in the previous chapter. God's call to Abraham involved obeying it and involved sacrificing. He took his wife, his nephew, his possessions, and all the people he had acquired and moved to a new place. It says that in verse 7, at that time, Canaanites were in the land. The Canaanites were in the land. It's already occupied, but you may be thinking, what does that have to do with anything? So Abraham wasn't just leaving a comfy lifestyle in Haran to go and move to another comfy lifestyle in Canaan. The Canaanites were his enemies. They're the enemies of the people of Chaldea and Ur. They followed different gods. So Abram couldn't just pick up his family, his possessions, and then go and move and settle and occupy this land freely. When the Israelites attempt to enter Canaan 500 years later, they walk in and see these Canaanites and sense fear down their spine. They couldn't approach these people because they feared that they would just be wiped out by them. The Israelites with Moses did not live out faith in God's power to give them this land. So Abram coming to this Canaan was not only leaving his place of security in his lifestyle, but he was also leaving his safety. He led his wife, his family, to a place of complete uncertainty because he trusted in God's promise. I will bless you. I will make you a blessing to all nations if you obey, if you sacrifice for me. But has God only asked Abram to sacrifice his finances, his career, his family, his land? What about the man that we talked about earlier, Eric Liddell? I told you that he was an Olympic runner, but did you realize that he won a gold and a bronze medal in the Paris Olympics in 1924? But in 1925, when he sensed God's call, he left all of it behind when he was 22. He had 2 more Olympics that he could have ran in and maybe accumulated more golds, more medals, more fame and glory and money. But he left all of that. He sacrificed that fame and glory because of God's call on his life to leave, to go. But that's not all. That's not the only time he sacrifices. In 1941, when the Japanese are closing in on this specific region in China, Eric Liddell sensed the danger of these Japanese coming in. The British government urged all of its citizens to quickly leave China and get out of there because it was going to fall to the hands of the Japanese. So Eric Liddell sent his family to Canada to be safe, but he sensed that he needed to remain because his work wasn't done yet. He still felt God calling him to serve the Chinese people who didn't know him. So he went to another part of China to serve the poor and eventually was put into a Japanese war camp. This picture is him at the Japanese war camp. I don't know if I could do it. To send my wife away, my daughters, I don't have daughters, but my kids, never to see them again. Perhaps to stay in a country where it will lead to my death. Even though Eric was put in a Japanese war camp, he continued to trust God and remain faithful to him, never having a bitter spirit towards God, even though he lost everything he had. We all make sacrifices for people, things, or causes that we love. But have we sacrificed for God lately? Have you been bold enough to bring him up in a conversation? I can't tell you how many times I failed to do that because I'm too worried about my pride or my comfort. But I'm striving to not be ashamed of the gospel and sacrifice my pride and comfort to share my faith. I want to be like Abraham, bold and willing to do whatever God asked me to do, to sacrifice anything for the sake of the gospel because I believe in it. Rachel and I are planning to become missionaries to Japan in the future. We sense God leading us there, and we want to make God famous in a country that doesn't know him. But right now, Rachel and I have to be obedient here in Plymouth. We need to sacrifice here in Plymouth, right where we are. God is calling each of us to live our faith, to sacrifice, to show God that he is our first love, that he is who's most important to us. If you're called to stay, then sacrifice in your staying. Continue to live generously, showing God that you trust him to provide for you. Continue to use the gifts and abilities that God's given you, sacrificing your time and your energy to build God's kingdom here in this place. Take the good news of salvation to someone who hasn't heard of it this month. We all leave something behind when we choose to follow Christ. But what's awaiting for those who have sacrificed is much greater than anything that we could have enjoyed here on earth because of God's promise to bless us. Live your faith. Have faith that sacrifices. And then third and last, develop a faith that worships. In verse 7, after Abram has obediently left Haran, sojourning to the unknown in Canaan, God appears to him, confirming his promise. We see that God says, "To your offspring, I will give this land. To your offspring, I will give this land." And then it says, "So, in light of, because of God appearing, because of God's promise, Abraham does what? He built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. An altar was a place to sacrifice animals as an offering to God. It was also a place of prayer or a place where you could remember what God had done for you, a memorial, much like things that we put up today to remember things. It was a reminder that God had appeared and that God would keep his promises. You see, God appeared to Abram in no other place than Shechem, and this place actually holds great significance. For more than 500 years later, when the Israelites were once more about to enter into Canaan, God appeared to the Israelites in Shechem. The Israelites presented themselves before God and made a covenant with him. They renewed their covenant that they would be faithful to God. God had led them finally to this promised land 500 years later after God had promised in Shechem the very place where he would give it to his descendants. And now in Shechem, the promise was becoming real life. It was coming to life. Joshua, like Abraham, builds an altar under a great tree in Shechem as a witness to God's promise. It looks to me here like they're reconfirming a confirmed promise. Their response to God, Abraham, Joshua, and the Israelites, is to worship. When Abraham just took a step back and saw how great and glorious God was, and that God was going to continue to be faithful to his promise, he could do nothing else than worship, to pray to God. Later in verse 8, after Abraham continues to travel more throughout the promised land, he builds another altar. God hadn't appeared to him another time. God hadn't spoken to him. And yet Abraham builds an altar to worship. And he calls upon the name of the Lord, it says. He called on the name of the Lord. Worship is always the natural response when we encounter God. Worship is always the natural response when we encounter God, when we consider the greatness and the glory of God. If worship is the response to what we value most, Well, what do we value the most? What do we get the most excited about? What do we want to remember? What do we daydream about? When are we most engaged in our life, in our day? I know for me, it's not always about when I think about God's glory. I'm striving to get there, but sometimes I get more excited about winning a silly board game like Settlers of Catan than I am when I get to encounter God in my devotions. Just being honest. Or maybe for some of us, it's when we see the Packer win that division game with that touchdown the last minute. We dance, we jump on our feet, we get so excited. But how about when we get to encounter God in the morning in our devotions? Or when we come to church and we get to worship God as a body? What about when we get that promotion or we finally feel loved by that person that we've wanting to feel loved by or we feel belonged? If we compare our responses to those good things in life with our response to how we encounter God, is it really different? I'm not saying those things are bad, but our response to God should be one of worship. Louis Giglio is a pastor in Atlanta. He describes worship as what we give our soul to. What we give our soul to. What do you give your soul to each and every day? Worship is not just about a Sunday morning sing-along time, which that's important, and it encourages us greatly. But we can worship God throughout our week, daily, personally, as a family. Abraham builds an altar to God and worships him right there. Today, would you commit to having a face that worships God, that sees and beholds the greatness and the glory of God just on your own? Calling on the name of God, not just when you come here to church, but as you're seeking him in his word. Individually, as a family, in the morning and the evening, when you open your Bible, you get to encounter God. You get to see him and hear his voice. We can't probably hear the audible voice of God like Abram did, but each time we open the word of God, we get to hear his voice whenever we want to. What if we decided to frequent God's word every day and encounter him and worship him every day? If we saw our devotions as a time when God would reveal himself to us and continue to reconfirm his promise and his call to our lives, would our response to him be worship? Worship is an essential part of living your faith. Let it be an activity that we engage in daily. Live your faith, have faith that worships. So, will Plymouth Lions Church be known as a church of faith, of deep faith? Will we follow in the example of our father, Abram, of those who have gone before us, who have left the comfort in their lifestyle to obey God's calling? It starts with how you begin living each day in submission to God's will and God's calling on your life. If you want your faith to grow, if you want to achieve being that godly man or woman, I encourage you to try exercising these three aspects of faith daily: to obey, to sacrifice, and to worship God. And you will see your faith and your trust in God grow. Where is God asking you to obey him more fully? In what ways is God asking you to sacrifice for him? And when will you make time in your day, in your week, to worship God and ascribe the worth to him that he so deserves? Let's respond to God's call this week with faith, faith that has action. Let's pray. God, thank you for the call that you called Abram to, Lord, to leave his land and to settle in Canaan. God, and through Abram, we see that you've given us Jesus Christ, your son, because Abram was obedient and faithful to you. God, who could you lead to Christ? What blessing could the world know through us if we obeyed you so fully, if we sacrificed so much and worshiped you, God, in spirit and in truth? Father, I know that you've called each one of us to follow you in some area of our life, and I pray that today that you would renew that calling to us. If we've been running from you, if we've been ignoring that call, God, would you once again renew that calling to us And I pray that we would have ears and hearts that would just willingly obey you, God, even though we don't understand, trusting that you're the sovereign God and that you have a plan. You have something in store for us. You have blessings for us, God, that we can never imagine. Father, I pray that we would leave this place now and have a faith that has action, God. Pray that we would be a church not just that hears the word, but that does the word. I pray this for each one of us here. Father, may we go from this place and make you famous to those who don't know you yet. Lord, that's our heart. That's our desire, that you grow this place, that you grow your kingdom here. Father, it's in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ who saved us that I pray these things. Amen.